let me ask you a question while we're getting ready. How many of you have ever felt insecure? Come on now, come on. Let's be honest, all right? We've all felt insecure. Fact is, probably today, some of you feel insecure. Hey, let me go further. Sorry, y'all, time out just a moment. Time out. We got to get this all this stuff going. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. Turn to Acts and find your way to the chapter 23 in the book of Acts. We'll look at that, please, today as we consider this wonderful thought. This wonderful thought today. The message is this: security when you feel insecure. Finding security. Finding, Katie, here's the title of the message: finding security when you feel insecure. And sometimes I do not communicate the title very often, and I know this is on the website and on the Facebook, so finding security when you feel insecure. And in the book of Acts, chapter 23, we all feel insecure at times, and very likely some of you today are feeling insecure. You know you are, and you can act like you're not, but you really know you are. In fact, there's a lot of mamas here today that are wondering about the future of their children. They're wondering, are my children going to really make it through life? Are they going to respect me as a mama or as a parent like they ought to respect me? There's probably some daddies in the house of God this morning that you're probably wondering, am I ever going to get out of debt? Can I teach and love my children and they might grow up and not be rebellious? I mean, all of us are facing insecurities. Teenagers today are wondering, am I going to get out of school? Am I ever going to make it out of school? And am I going to get a good job? And what's the future hold? Senior adults are feeling insecure these days. How many know with the health care plan? Hey, can I get an amen? The Obama replacement health care struck at it. Reminded me of a little young boy that was playing baseball one day and he was throwing the ball up. He said, I'm the greatest hitter there is. He threw the ball up, swung, and he missed it. Strike one. He threw the ball up. He said, I'm the greatest hitter there is. Strike two. He threw the ball up a third time and swung and said, I'm the greatest hitter. Strike three. He missed it all three times. He threw the ball up the next time and said, I'm the greatest pitcher there ever is. All right? Not the hitter, but the pitcher. Maybe, just maybe. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And speaking of senior adults, Deanna and I went to a restaurant the other day, and we sat down at the restaurant, and I was trying to debate as to what I wanted to eat, and I was looking at the menu, and we were both looking at the menu, and the waitress said, there is a 55 plus on the back. You can look at it if you want to. She looked at me and said, she must be talking about you, all right? Deanna said, she must be. How many know, as a husband, you don't say anything at that point, right? If you don't know that, I'm telling you, don't say anything at that point unless you want to get a World War III started. Anyway, we all are facing insecurities. We're all facing challenges these days. But how many know that when we get to heaven, as a senior adult or a young adult, as we've had a couple this week to that I know of, and more than that, have gone on to be with the Lord. But I tell you what, you get to thinking about heaven. You ever get to thinking about heaven? I mean, do you really ever get to thinking about heaven? No, you don't. You don't really think about heaven. If you really thought about heaven, it would absolutely change your mind. It'll change the way you live. It'll change your attitude on a daily basis. Somebody said, when we get to heaven, listen, there's not going to be any more clock in heaven. No clock. Won't that be wonderful? I won't have to worry about a watch. I can preach all as long as I want to, amen, and not have to worry about quitting at any given time. No clock. Somebody said, there'll be no lock in heaven. No clock, no lock. We don't have to lock our doors in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. No lock, no clock. Somebody said, there's not going to be a dock. No dock, no doctors in heaven. I don't know if there are going to be doctors in heaven, but I know this, I won't need one. Somebody say amen. No docs in heaven. That is, no doctors, no medicines, no prescriptions, no cancer, no drugs. Somebody ought to be happy about that. I mean, if you really believe in heaven, there's not going to be any clock, no lock. Somebody said there's not going to be a dock, and there's not going to be a Glock. How many got that gun, that Glock? No Glocks in heaven. You're not going to need a Glock in heaven. You're not going to need a clock in heaven. You're not going to need a dock in heaven. You're not going to need a lock in heaven. And furthermore, we're not going to need H&R Block in heaven. No taxes, glory, in heaven. But I tell you what you will need. I tell you what will be there. We'll stand on the rock. Amen. No cot, but we'll stand on the rock. Today, where we're going in the message is this. Finding security when you feel insecure. And here are three reasons why and how you and I can find security today. And I believe if the truth be known, there's some concerns on your heart. There's some worries. There's some fears. And you can play church if you want to. It seems like we come to church and we act like nothing's wrong within Monday through Saturday. We worry and we're stressed and we can't seem to live in victory. But we got to deal with it today. Insecurities. In the book of Acts, and we're going to look here quickly at an overview. We've been studying some of the travels of our companion, yea, our missionary who was a murderer but now is a flaming missionary, namely the Apostle Paul. And we've, in our men's study, been looking at some of this on Wednesday night. But the Lord led me to this passage today, finding security when you feel insecure. And the three reasons that I find in this one text that we can find security when we feel insecure. But before we get to the text, let me give you quickly a brief background of what's taking place in this wonderful book called the Book of Acts. Dr. Luke, the historian, has given us a bird's eye view of the spreading of the Word of God, the gospel. And quickly, the day of Pentecost comes on Acts chapter 2. The Word of God is growing. Persecution is breaking out. How many know you can't stop God? You can't stop the will of God. You can't stop the Word of God. You can't stop the power of God. Throw them in prison. Try to beat them, but it still won't stop God. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm glad that, thank God, you can't stop God. You can try to stop God. You can't stop Him. Oh, no, you can't stop Him. And the Word of God is growing. Now, there happens to be a man by the name of Saul. The Bible says that he is, one occasion, they stone a man named Stephen. It was really a foreshadowing of what would take place in his life. And here is an account where the Apostle Paul is standing, and the garments, as they're stoning this man called Stephen, he's standing there at his garments. I don't think he ever got over it. No doubt he never got over it. Seeing an innocent man who loved the Lord, who saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and he witnessed him dying in faith, taking on the glory. He never got over it. And so we come to the book of Acts, and let me just go back, if I could, to the first slide. As the Apostle Paul, who is really called Saul in the early part of the book of Acts, and he is supernaturally changed by the power of God on the road to Damascus. And you talk about a change, Margaret. That young man had a change. Amen. And you don't want to go back to the old lifestyle. By the way, I hadn't got over it yet. The Lord saved me in 1982 in spring, and I hadn't got over it yet. Amen. People said it won't last very long. I beg your pardon. It's lasted this long, and it's going to continue to last by the grace of God. It's not something to just get a quick fix. But wait a minute, the Apostle Paul went to a man by the name of Ananias. Ananias was instrumental in being used of God to give Paul some further instructions. Next thing you know, Paul ends up 3 years on the backside of the desert. God's training his men. A lot of men want to jump out and do their thing, but God has a preparation time. Every time you see men of God in the Bible, women of God in the Bible, God has his schooling, as it were, his preparatory, preparing a person for, as you mentioned, Margaret, the call or the purpose, the meaning, if you will, or significance in which God has called us to fulfill our purpose on life. Likewise, with the Apostle Paul, I'm going through this real quickly because we're going to turn to Acts 23 in a moment, but Paul is 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert. Next thing you know, a man by the name of Barnabas comes and brings him to the disciples, and he's kind of like a mediator, that is, Barnabas is, to Paul and the disciples. They didn't trust him, you understand, because he was a persecutor of the church. Even though he was a Pharisee, he was religious, but he was lost. You can be religious and lost, and Paul was a prime example. And the bottom line is this, it's not what's on the outside that matters, it's really what's on the inside that matters. You can put on a show, we can do our thing, but really God knows our heart. And so, here in Acts chapter 13, this man named Paul and another man named Silas and Barnabas, really Barnabas at this time, are getting ready to go out into a mission trip. And so the early church of Antioch, they lay their hands on them. They send them out to preach the gospel. Oh, I tell you, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And here is the first missionary journey. You can't see it really clear, but you'll just have to take my word for it. There's the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey, and then finally Paul's voyage to Rome. This is all contained in Acts chapter 13 all the way through Acts chapter 20, 21, and even up to 28. And so here we just see a bird's eye view of his missionary travels, his preaching the gospel, his moving on. By the way, he was stoned, left for dead at Lystra. Hey, I didn't recognize this. You Bible teachers and Sunday school teachers, you know this? When Paul was in Lystra, he was stoned his first missionary journey. Everybody thought he was dead. But guess what? He went the second time to Lystra, and guess who he found? Do you know who he found in Lystra? He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't say, I'm not going back there again. They don't want to hear the word of God. You know who he found? Timothy, a great devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, a man who finished faithful. And Paul said he's like-minded. And so here's the conclusion. And so he went back to Lystra. And so I'm not going to go into all the details about him going to Ephesus and Thessalonica and Philippi. It's all there in the New Testament. And yet he finally comes to the point where he says, you know, I've got to go back to Jerusalem. Why? He had been in the Gentile world. Why was he in the Gentile world? Primarily to preach the gospel, to share the good news. How many believe today, like never before, we need good news? We need good news. I'm tired of the bad news. God, give us some good news. And so he's telling the good news. Christ died for our sins and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. That Jesus conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave. He was delivered up for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say that with me. Shall be saved. Say it again. Shall be saved. Say it like you mean it. I believe that. And so that's Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. But wait a minute, because he's going back to Jerusalem. Now, he's persuaded by his Christian friends, don't go, Paul, don't go. In fact, one of the men did an illustration. I need somebody to help me here. David, come here, my friend. Somebody did an illustration. Come here, David. Now, I'm not going to be funny up here, but I need somebody's belt. Will somebody give me their belt? I would ask him to give me his belt, but his pants might fall down. Somebody say amen. Anyway, I need a belt. Who's got a belt? All right. Nobody's got a belt. All right. Thank you, Brother Chris. Here's what Agabus, a prophet of God, said to Paul. He said, Paul, make sure you got on another belt, amen. Agabus said to Paul, he said, man, I wish I didn't have to tell you this, Paul. But he said, put your hands out, my friend, because this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be tied up. You're going to be all tied up. And I tell you what, you're not going to be able to get loose. You're going to be tied up. You're not going to be able to do a whole lot. This is what they're going to do to you. This happened before even Paul experienced going back to Jerusalem. How did Agabus know that? I'll tell you how he knew it. God showed him. Y'all didn't hear me. I said God showed him. How many believe that God will show you things that happen even before they happen? Y'all believe that? I'm not talking about luck. Hello. Not Lady Luck. Not some superstition hocus pocus. I'm talking about a living God that knows the past, present, and future. And so Agabus said to Paul, but you know what Paul said? Paul didn't say, oh, no, they're going to tie me up. I'm not going. I better spare my life. I'm not going. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be misused. I don't want to be rejected. I want everybody to like me. Paul didn't say that. God help us not to fear men, but to fear God. And that's why we're not witnessing. We're fearing men when we are God. I can't hear you. We're afraid what people think about. I know people think I'm a fanatic around here. Guess what? Praise God. I'd rather be a fanatic for Jesus than a devil going to hell. Amen. Just go ahead and get rid of it. You mean, hey, but look, here's what Agabus said to Paul. He said, you're going to be tied up, and And so it was a revelation. Well, hold your place there for a minute, Brother David, because Paul says, I'm going back to Jerusalem. Why? Why? He's not only preaching the gospel, but he says, man, I got an offering. I'm going to take, there's some needs over there in Jerusalem. I got to take back an offering. Hey, I've got to quickly tell you what happened. And so he's over there in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, and they're saying, don't go, Paul, don't go, Paul, don't go. We won't see you again, Paul. The flesh. Oh, Paul, no, Paul, stay with us. Paul says, the will of God be so. How many know that the will of God is always supreme? Question, have you surrendered to the will of God? Are you doing your own thing? Have you got your life mapped out before you? Are you willing to change when God says, stop, I want you to do this, I want you to go here? Well, anyway, so here comes Paul coming back to Jerusalem. Long story short, here it is. He gets to Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, James and the Jews, the brethren. They meet and greet, and they're happy about it. But some of them aren't too happy about it. How many know when people get saved today, get changed today, and get forgiven of their sin today, not everybody's going to be happy. The devil's not going to be happy. I've seen people in church get upset over somebody getting saved. It wasn't over them getting saved, but it was they couldn't see, or they were sitting in a place where they were uncomfortable, or the air wasn't just right, and get mad at a church service when somebody's being saved. God help us as his people to be in touch, in tune, and in step with God, what he's doing. Amen, and amen, and amen. And you see, so he comes back. He said, they're not going to be, well, James and the brethren say this. Now, there were some brethren, Jewish brethren from in the Gentile world, but they were also there in Jerusalem. And so James and the brethren make a conclusion. They say, Paul, I tell you what, if you go in the temple, if you go in this temple area, I think everything will be okay. In fact, when you go in the temple area, if you take this vow, there's four men, they're having a vow, and here's what they're doing. They're going to take a vow in the temple, and if you pay for their vow, the sacrificial animals pay for these four men's vows, and if you take the vow with them, then I think it'll satisfy the people that are upset with you. Well, why are the people upset with me? I'll tell you why they're upset with me. Because James and the brethren say there's whispering campaign going around saying, you're telling everybody, the Jews, that they don't have to, they can forbid the law of Moses and they don't have to obey all of these ceremonial things. And so if you go to the temple, it'll suffice, it'll quieten everything down. Well, Paul understood we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as he said in the book of Galatians. However, hey, note this, the Jews were to keep their customs if they wanted to. They would understand this is not what saves you, but it's the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. The blood of Jesus that saves you. But if you want to continue to do some of your forefathers, like some of us have, we have traditions of our parents. We don't even realize we do things because our parents did and our parents told us, and it may not be the gospel necessarily, but it's all right, as long as you don't substitute that. And so Paul said, all right, good deal, I'll go. He goes to the temple, he pays their way. Evidently, it was a seven-day purification right, and some say he might have done it because he was in the Gentile world, and it was a part of the purification because of that. Others say the Nazarite vow is something that would last 30 days. Regardless of what it was exactly all about, the point is this. You know what they said about him? They said, Paul, we went to the temple, but you took a Gentile in the temple. Who? A man named Trophimus. He's a Gentile. Hey, how many know that it was a no-no to take a Gentile into the temple? They had the Gentile court. They had the women's court here in the temple area. But the Jews and the high priests were allowed in here. So there was speculation. It's not fact now. You need to read this. Read it. Don't take my word for it. Read it. But there was speculation that Paul had taken a Gentile in the temple. And you know what it caused? An uproar. People were mad as hornets. Paul, you took a Gentile. You know the devil will use anything to get you mad. I said, the devil will push the buttons in your life. He will get you mad. He will get you upset over the smallest things because he you may not be guilty of drinking and getting drunk and running around and being an adulterer or being in the homosexuality, but if he can get you angry and mad, he will get you and me ineffective to serve God. So he's busy about that. Hey, look. But anyway, so the Jews got upset, highly upset, I might say. You know what they did? tied him up, bound him up, and said, Paul, as he stood before them, he said, man, Agabus, the prophetic insight that he gave, he tied him up. And then we pick up in our account, because in the account, Brother David, thank you, brother. Give Brother David a hand. Amen. Thank you, brother. And give Brother Chris his belt back. Somebody say amen. Hey, look. Thank you, brother. Alice, make sure he's got that on. I'm just kidding. Hey, look. Y'all okay today? I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? I like to have fun at church. You have fun at church? You don't have to look like you've been winged on a pickle, amen. It's all right to smile. It's all right. Hey, look. So here is Paul. And he's in the temple. Now he's been cast out of the temple. Now there's a mob. Now they're beating him. Now there's an inciting a riot. And had not these Roman soldiers intervened, he'd have been dead at the point, but God wasn't finished with him yet. And so you know what happens? As they're escorting him out, I'm cutting through a lot. Paul said, it's not right. I'm a Roman citizen. What? Wait a minute now. We knew you were a Jew. We knew you were born in Tarsus. We understood you were a Jew. In fact, your father was a Pharisee, and you're a Pharisee. And by the way, Paul said, by the way, I was brought up under the feet of a man called Gamaliel. Gamaliel? Who is Gamaliel? Well, Gamaliel, he is a man, by the way, who is a doctor of the law. Gamaliel, well-known, well-respected, I mean a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, how many people were in the Sanhedrin? 71. Now, where did they originate that? Exodus chapter 18. So, Paul's saying, hey, to this crowd, this is just a painting right here, by the way, that some suggest Gamaliel was saved. We do find about a little bit about him in the earlier part of the book of Acts. He said, if it's a work of God, you can't stop this work. If it's a work of man, it's going to stop. But if it's a work of God, you can't stop it. And so Paul is just letting this crowd know that I'm a Roman citizen. And not only that, but he began to speak in Greek and he began to speak in Hebrew. I want to tell you what it tells me. You know what it tells me? God had prepared him for such a time as that. How many believe that God has prepared you? You look back on your life, you see the experiences you've been through, Margaret, and you wouldn't be able to stand up here and say, praise God for God's mighty delivering power. How many years were you with methamphetamines? I don't know if you heard or not. How many years? 23. Did anybody ever tell you about quitting? Did anybody ever tell you how to quit? Did anybody ever tell you about Jesus? But you just evidently weren't ready. But God's power is greater than the devil's power. And so God prepared Paul. Listen, Paul, you're going to stand before a governor. Paul wouldn't have been able to stand to preach before a governor, Festus, then Felix, then a king named Agrippa. God was preparing Paul. How many believe that God's preparing you? The stuff you've been through, it hadn't been happenchance. It's not by mistake. God is making you and me. He finds a man. He begins to stand. He's got a plan. Glory to his name. And so we can rest assured that God is taking us places for his glory and for his will. So he began to speak all of this. Now, as we come to this text today, in the book of Acts chapter 23. Here we start in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. Stand to your feet as we read Acts chapter 23. We're going to read verse number 11. I summarized the best I could, as quickly as I could, the events that took place leading us up to Acts chapter 23. I came to this passage this week and God just quickened it in my heart. Hey, finding security when you feel insecure. Don't you imagine Paul was maybe feeling a little insecure? Oh, he could have been, like some of you are. You're wondering about things in the future. Look at Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. Acts chapter 23. Now he appears not only before this Jewish crowd, but again I say before the Sanhedrin. Now he's with the Sadducees and Pharisees, and I won't go into all that, but I want to skip down, please, to verse number 11 in Acts chapter 23. Verse 11. And I want you to underline this. This will be a blessing to you. This is a message of overflow. It's a message that God has quickened in my heart. I believe it's going to be a personal message to you that's going to encourage you today. And though you feel insecure, you're going to find security in this blessed, wonderful word from the Lord. Verse 23, and the night following all these, some of these events that have been taking place, tied, beaten, misused. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Say that with me. Be of good cheer. Say it again. One more time. Do you know that's used 7 times in the Bible? Be of good cheer. Every single time Jesus said it. Every single time Jesus said it. He said it, for example, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Be of good cheer. He said it, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, I believe it is, verse 2. Be of good cheer. He said it in verse 22. Be of good cheer. He said it in the Gospel of Mark. Be of good cheer. And the word means exactly what it says. Be of good cheer. And by the way, I've got the word here on the screen. The word is tharseo. You can see it. There's the Greek word at the bottom. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all here, but I thought it would be very interesting if you saw the word. Be of good cheer. Tharseo. Tharseo, which means be of good cheer. That's what it means. Be good courage. God came to Paul and God said, son, be of good cheer. I know you're going through a hard time. I know you don't understand. I know you can't see your way clear. But Paul, be of good cheer. I'll tell you what. I can't think of a better word than God to tell me today, be of good cheer. Are y'all going through stuff that I'm going through? No, y'all aren't, are you? Are y'all going through stuff I'm going through? I mean, are you going through stuff in your life? Are you going through stuff in your life? All right, good, good, good. Are you going through stuff in your life? Come on, come on, come on. Are you going through stuff in your life? Yeah, yeah. Are you going through stuff in your life? You are. We're all going through stuff in our life. And sometimes that stuff can get us down. But God comes to you and says, be of good cheer. You need that today, don't you? I said, you need that today, don't you? I said, that'll encourage you today. I said, that'll lift you up. Be of good cheer. Keep reading now. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Be of good cheer. Notice what he said. And he said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness at Rome. He's not at Rome yet. He's still in Jerusalem. Now keep in mind, he's on his way to Rome, but he's not there yet. If you look at this map right here, and then I'm going to pray, and you can be seated. Look at this map. He's not in Rome. He's still in Jerusalem, way over here. But guess where he's going to go? He's going to go from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and then from Caesarea all the way over here to Rome. God's plan is to get to Rome. How many love the Bible? Let me see your hand. We got to study the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I pray now that you'll encourage us today, and you'll bless us today. Oh, God, that we can be a good cheer, no matter what. And, Lord, I sense spirits of oppression in this place this morning. I sense spirits of depression in this place this morning. I sense spirits, dear God, of confusion. And Father, Lord, so many of us, your people, are just in state of a whirlwind. We don't know sometimes what direction to go or what to do. And we're pulled in this direction, and things are happening here and there, and God, you know every one of us, and we're battling, dear Lord, with things in our life and in our families and insecurities. God, please pull back the veil. Help us to see ourselves. Help us to get honest today. God, forgive us of putting on a facade. Forgive us, Lord, of pretending and play acting when deep down inside we've got insecurities and we got fears and we got worries. Oh God, get down to the deep recesses of us and just quicken your word in us. Bring forth victory, breakthroughs, and we'll thank you and praise you because our God, you've been faithful in the past and you will be faithful in the future. And we already thank you now what you're doing and what you will do, what you have done. Oh God, help us to hear you. Help us to be still. Help us to lay aside the worries, the cares, the distractions. God, please somehow zero in on us, Holy Spirit. Even if it's us, just one person here, two people here, and be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you now so much. Here's where we're going. There are three reasons why you and I don't need to be insecure today. Finding security when you feel insecure. Y'all are insecure, aren't you? Come on, tell me the truth. You know you are. You know your background. You know what you've been through in life. You know day by day your decisions. You know stuff that comes up that makes you insecure. Let's just get real about it. Let's get honest about it. Let's don't try to blame it on anybody else. Let's don't try to camouflage it. I know turkey season started yesterday, but we're not in turkey hunting right now, amen? We're at church, so let's don't try to camouflage it. Let's don't try to hide it. Let's get honest with our insecurities with God, and God will do a work in our life. He will today. He will, and I'm trusting Him to do it. Paul, be of good cheer. Paul, be of good cheer. There are three reasons why you and I need to be of good cheer, and three reasons why God will turn our insecurities into securities. And here they are. Number one, because the Lord will stand by you and encourage you when you feel insecure. Do you hear me? The Lord will stand by you and encourage you when you feel insecure. How do I know that? Because He did it for Paul. Look in Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord did what? The Lord stood by him. Say that with me. Stood by him. Say it again. Everybody say it, please. Stood by him. Does that mean God's going to stand by you? Do you believe God's going to stand by you? Do you believe that God's going to stand by you? Yes. 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 If you don't believe, why are you here? You don't need to be here if you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you certainly need to believe. And if you don't believe, it might be because you're not a Christian. You need to be a Christian first before you believe. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't believe God's going to stand with you, I came today to tell you, God's going to stand with you. Will you believe that? Will you receive that? Will you thank God He's going to stand with you? Oh, yes. He said He stood with him, and notice what He said. Be of good cheer. Say it one more time with me. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. God said, I'll stand beside you and tell you, be of good cheer. Why should you be encouraged today? Why should you not be insecure today? Because do you hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm here? No, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. Because you got to clean out your ears. Get them ears cleaned out. Get the heart right. Then you'll hear the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit these days. We're not listening to God. We're tuned in our television. World. Influence. Our world. Our feelings. Our feelings. Hey, look. We're missing out. God said, I'm going to be with you. I'll stand with you. And the Lord loves us. Wait a minute. I'll stand with you and I'll encourage you when you feel insecure. If I ask you again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if I ask you again, look up here. Look up here, please. How many of you feel insecure today? A lot of hands would probably be raised. But if I ask you this, how many are going to do something about it? Very few hands will be raised. We come to church, we come in, we leave the same way we came in. Why? Because we're not doing what God told us to do. We're not obeying the Word of God. We're not applying the Word of God. We come and we just want to say, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. Let's go further than that. Let God dig deeper down in you today, will you? Let Him dig deep. Let Him show you that stuff why you're insecure. All that stuff that's happened to you, you couldn't help it. I know you couldn't help it. You couldn't help it, but it's happened. It's water under the bridge, and you don't need to keep digging up the past. You need to thank God for healing. Accept His healing. Accept His blood. Thank Him for it, and move on. Don't let the devil keep you spinning your wheels locked up because of what happened long time ago. Move on, move on, move on. That's the way the enemy's robbing us of victory, robbing us of living in the Spirit-filled life, stuff that happened in the past. Move on. I know that you had some bad stuff to happen to you. I understand that. How many had bad stuff to happen to us? Let me see your hand. Every one of us. But it's our response to the stuff that's happened to us that keeps us bogged down. But God says, I'll break the chains of the enemy. And so, you can find security today by Knowing the Lord said, I'll stand with you and I will encourage you when you feel insecure right now. Oh, bless His holy name. Can I tell you something happened to me? Recently, I had some pile of limbs, Brother Walter. I know we had that great bonfire over at the campfire meeting, Brother Bubba. And we piled up them limbs and burned them. Well, I had some limbs. Brother Mike helped me cut down a tree. You remember that, Brother Mike? I still hadn't got rid of all them limbs. Amen. A pine tree. You told me you hadn't got rid of yours either yet, have you? Maybe you have. Yeah, you finally, all right, good. Well, I hadn't. But anyway, I had a moment and jumped in there. I piled up some of them limbs in a pile. I put a little gasoline on it. How many men know what I'm talking about? I went and burned them things quick as I can. Burn ban. I called. Hey, y'all don't get upset. I called the number. I said, I'm going to have a fire. They said, it's all right. So y'all don't get upset. I'm trying to dot my I's and cross my T's, all right? But anyway, so I put some gas on it, and I lit that baby up, and woo, man, that thing just started burning. I started piling limbs on it. It burned for a while and burned down to where the limbs were kind of getting ashy, and most of them, it burned for probably an hour or so, and it burned down to, it was almost, the fire's about out. And I said, well, you know, I've got some of the stuff I got to do. I've got to put this fire out. So I got my garden hose, right? I hooked up the water hose to it. I had my little, you know, spray wand deal. And I came over the fire, and I just pulled that spray wand, and the water just came gushing out. And, man, it just kept drenching. That fire smoke was going up in the air. You could hear the ashes, and I just walked around the fire and just held that spray. I just, full force, water drenching it, saturating it, filling up the, cutting a little fire break, amen, around it, and the water filling up the trenches, and man, water inside the fire, and even in the ashes, you could see little water, and the standing on the ground, maybe half an inch deep, and I just kept spraying and spraying 5 minutes. Then I left and came back a few hours later, and guess what I saw? Smoke. It wasn't out. The fire wasn't out. I said, all right, I'll get my fire hose. Just call me fireman, amen. I got my hose, and I sprayed that thing again. 5 minutes of solid water pouring it on. And just water piled up. I said, I got it now. Well, I left. I came back that night. Well, I take that back. I didn't come back that night. I got a text message from my wife that night, Deanna, and she showed me a picture of the outside of the backyard. And there was some glowing lights coming from the fire. It wasn't out. I said, it can't be. I've drenched that fire. You know what God showed me? God showed me this. Son, you can put out the outside, but if the fire is really on the inside, it ain't going to go out. I'm telling you, when the fire of God is in you, brother, the world can throw the water on it. The world can try to put it out. The devil can try to put it out. But when Jesus is in you and the fire of God's in you, the devil can't put it out. Woo! The devil can't put it out. It's the fire of God. And I believe today God wants us to stir up the gift of God. Some of us, the flame is flickering. We've gotten cold. We've gotten indifferent. And God says, no, the fire of heaven's in you. Let somebody see the fire burn. Oh, yeah. Number two, not only will the Lord reason, heal, and turn insecurity into security, He'll stand by you and say, be of good cheer. Number two, He will remind you. I'll be done in a moment. He'll remind you, I've stood by you in the past when you felt secure. Look at chapter 23, verse 11, please. One more time. Chapter 23, verse 11. Look at this. And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer. Look at this next phrase. Paul, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, he said, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying, Paul, as a witness, as you witnessed for me in Jerusalem, you also must bear witness in Rome. He's saying, look back on your life, Paul. When you felt insecure, I was with you. How many can look back on your life and see when you felt insecure, God was with you? Come on, talk to me. He's not going to leave you now. He's not going to forsake you now. Will you rest in Him right now? Will you praise Him for His peace right now? Whatever the problems, whatever the heartaches, whatever the worries and fears, rest in Him now. He said, Paul, I was with you when you was in Jerusalem. A mob could have killed you. I spared you by the nape of the neck. And Paul, I've got a plan for you. Son, you're not going to die right here in Jerusalem. I've got somebody I need you to talk to. I'm going to open a door nobody else can open, and I'm going to use you as a witness. I'm telling you, it ain't over till it's over, and we can say, bless God, I might feel insecure, but I'm secure in Jesus. Amen. I'm secure in His forgiveness. I'm secure in His blood. I'm secure in I'm heaven bound. I'm secure in His word. I'm secure in my Lord. No matter what happens in America, no matter what happens in Congress, no matter what happens on my home or in my health, I'm secure because Jesus is my security. Brother and sister, when we get to that place, realize that the Lord has been with us in the past. He's going to be with us now. Now quickly, my time's going. That leads us to third reason. I was with you in Jerusalem. But now look, verse 23. So must thou bear witness also in Rome. Chris Evans can testify. Today, right now, last Sunday night, everybody left, Brother Chris. Everybody but me and you. Everybody but me and you and a young man who was 18 years old. And this young man, 18 years old, he went on the mission / dare to share mission in New York City. I'm sorry, Washington. Why say New York? I'm insecure, amen. Anyway, Washington, you know where. Anyway, we stayed back last Sunday. And this young man, like so many young men, let me see your Bible, please. He has all kinds of so-called problems with the Bible. You know anybody's got so-called problems with the Bible? There's a bunch of them out there. Oh, I don't believe the Bible. Why? The Bible contradicts itself. Have you ever talked with anybody like that? If you hadn't, you will. In fact, I'm not being critical of this young man. I love this young man. But you know what? He had his phone out. He had all of his little program problems on the Bible on his phone. And one after another, he said, I got a problem here. I looked at him and said, that's not a problem at all. Turn to the passage. It'll explain itself. He said, oh, let me go to number two. Number two problem. And there we went from 9:30 and night, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 4 hours later. It was finally 2 o'clock. He said, my phone's going dead. I said, no, you run out of questions because there's not any more questions, so-called problem. Believe Jesus and bless God, move on. The Bible's the Word of God. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's archaeologically proven, it's historically accurate, it's prophetically precise, it's God's Word, and you might as well believe it, stand on it, because it's forever set in heaven. Paul said, God, where are you, Lord? God said, be of good cheer, Paul. I was with you when you was in Jerusalem, and I'm going to make sure you're going to get to Rome. I've said this through the last few months. Won't you say it with me? If I can get through it, I can get to it. Say it with me. If I can get through it, I can get to it. God's got a plan for you. You just think all that stuff you're going through is going to stop you. No, no, no. You got to get through it, brother. I said you got to get through it in order to get to it. Because thank God the Bible teaches that we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. How can we find security? That's what we need. We don't need more of this and that. Stop looking at the climb up the corporate ladder. Stop looking for trying to prestige and popularity. Find God's presence and power in your life. Then you'll say, hallelujah, this is my security. You know why? Let me say this. Don't miss this. couple things don't change. Number one, the Word of God doesn't change. Somebody say amen. Everything else around you is going to be changing. Number two, Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say it with me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, the Bible doesn't. Everything else is. That's why we ought to have our security in this. That's why we ought to have our security in this. This is not going to change. Your circumstances are, people around you are, but this is not. And Jesus is not. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I'm going to close on this. I said that a minute ago, but seriously. Hey, our time's gone. But let me tell you what happened. You'll be blessed to know this. God's watching over us. Friday night, as I appreciate you praying for us, went down to Oak Hill Baptist Church. Told your mom I'm praying for her, Virtus. I told her happy 80th birthday, by the way. And Zolly, 85. Anyway, wait a minute now before you put up your Bible. Let me say this. You got to hear this. Because I know you're praying. Finding security when you feel insecure. I shared the Word of God on Friday night. And a man sat across the table from me. They had a fellowship afterwards. And it just so happens it was the son-in-law of Brother Ray Johnson. He was married to the daughter of Ray Johnson, pastor that passed away. His wife was there, Pam. We were all sitting at the table. His name is Carl. He's got a business. He puts in, installs swimming pools. He cleans them out. Successful business. He lives in Keystone, Florida. He sat at the table just after the service. He looked at me. He's got a little boy, I guess probably 7, 8 years old. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, he said, Brother Randy, you didn't know this. And service had been over. People responded, but he looked at me and he said, I was sitting out in the parking lot in my car thinking about quitting. He said, my wife and I have been working with youth and teens and children. He said, but she didn't know this. He said, she did not know this. But when we got back in the car after being here, I was going to tell her I was going to quit. I just got too much going on. I'm too busy. And I'm just tired. I just feel like quitting. He said, but tonight, God spoke to my heart and said, you can't quit yet. You can't quit yet. He said, I rededicated my life to the Lord tonight. I said, hallelujah, Lord. You know why? Realize that may not mean a lot to you, but you don't know what God's going to do to that man. And I believe God is good to bring our insecurity into security. Let's stand together, can we?